Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, host of the show. Joe McGranahan is with us, fabulous mayor of Shamokin Dam, head of FEMA, which is the global...
I retired from that.
I got to turn you up a little bit. Oh, you retire? You're not the head of FEMA anymore?
No, I never was the head.
Joe McGranahan denies being the head of FEMA.
Right.
FEMA at 11. He's still on the Pennsylvania Bar Association's Judicial Review Committee. He's a CSVT Task Force Chair. He is a Pennsylvania Associated Broadcaster, Association of Broadcasters, Broadcaster Hall of Fame member. Still on the Pennsylvania Emergency Communications Committee?
No, that's what I retired from.
Oh, you retired from that. Wow, I'm shocked.
That's where you always say FEMA.
Right. So, and it never was FEMA. It never was even PEMA.
No. Well, it's PEMA's part of it.
Okay.
And they still do the same great work they did when I was administrative chairman.
So they didn't need you, in other words.
No. They got along quite well without me, as far as I can tell.
All right. He's on the executive board of the State Mayor's Association, but his favorite name around the dinner table when his young grandchildren are there is...
Papa.
Right. That's the name he really likes. All those other titles. Former COO of the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation. And, boy, I
trained tap dancing bears. Did you mention that?
You trained them?
Yes. Back in my circus days.
Oh.
Believe that, and I'll tell you another one.
All right.
Let's move along. What do you say?
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership.
And you're strikingly handsome, by the way.
Thank you. That takes care of your December obligation. You're free to go. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. Throughout our program, you are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, or you can text us at 70236. Matt Cotrillo is our producer. He's on the other side of the glass, so we see him over there, so he's doing a good job. We're glad he's on board.
I guess he's going to have to clack in there today.
Right, he'll be clackety-clacking at the producer's chair.
Multitasking is what I do best.
Oh, yeah, he does a lot of stuff. He's the only guy that works a split shift here where you leave at about 10 a.m. and you come back about 3 p.m., but he's working constantly in between anyway, so I don't know why they even might as well just stay in the building and
isn't that a violation of a labor law somewhere?
He's not that young. He looks young. It's not a violation of child labor laws.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to hear.
In broadcasting, there's no such thing as a labor law.
I know.
Everybody labors to make sure that the audience is super served around here.
Well, I'm happy to hear
it. That's all we do.
I don't know. I just do 90 minutes 4 days a week, and then I leave.
Right. Yeah, you get prolonged vacations and extended time.
But I see lots of activity going on all the time.
It's a beehive around here,
oh,
I'm telling you.
I had to walk back today and look at the Talk to Santa studio. I always like to see that, the way they have it all decorated up back mm-hmm. there and for the kids and Miss Anne and Santa Claus. And who's the elf this year, the elf name?
I forget.
It wasn't Buttons. Well, this elf must not have a good union if you don't remember her name or his name.
Her.
Wow, this is terrible.
This is terrible. This is twice I've done this.
You should remember the names of the elves.
I know. I should remember
a lot
of things.
Do you remember the reindeer?
Donner and Blitzen, you mean?
Yeah, those guys.
Right. Yes, I do remember them.
Okay.
But they're not specifically on the show.
Emma is the name.
Emma. That's right.
Boy, am I in trouble now. I'm supposed to be a PD around here, too. That's the bad part.
And you don't know Emma.
I know who she is.
I hope you're paying her.
I helped her a little bit last night.
Did you?
Yes. She came in and I guess her little elf.
I thought she was at the North Pole.
Emma?
Yes. Isn't she up there with Santa Claus? Why would you come in here?
I don't know. Well, maybe she is at the North Pole.
Well, I would hope so.
Well, one of our announcers was here last night who was helping the Talk to Santa broadcast, and so I helped them.
Did you see the story? I mean, we have a lot of stuff to talk about this morning, but I sent you this story this morning, and we're talking about Talk to Santa. What's worse than a lump of coal in your Christmas stocking? Perhaps a place in the unemployment line? A substitute teacher who recently told first graders that Santa Claus is not real is no longer working for a New Jersey school district, the superintendent said Tuesday. Montville Public School Superintendent Renee Rovtar confirmed in a statement to Fox News that the substitute, who has not been identified, is no longer with the K-12 district. The superintendent called the incident at the Cedar Hill School the Santa matter and said no additional comment would be made on the topic due to the fact it's a personnel matter. In addition to a discussion of Santa Claus, where the teacher told the kids it wasn't real, Rovtar said the students had asked the substitute teacher questions about the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, Elf on a Shelf, and leprechauns. She proceeded to debunk all of it, said Rovtar.
That's crazy. Well, the Elf on the Shelf, that certainly is real because we used to have an elf at our house that would pop up at all different kind of locations, and Chad had a comparable tradition, Chad Hirschberger, our producer from Monday, and of course we know Santa's real because, well, quite frankly, I get a lot of wonderful gifts from him.
Yeah.
And
one of the parents said that many of us parents have been doing damage control since the kids got home from school. Another parent told New Jersey 12 News that her 6-year-old daughter, Adriana, was extremely upset by the ordeal. I was heartbroken. You know, my daughter is the hugest believer in the whole Christmas spirit. Santa giving, the mother said.
Okay.
So what a terrible way to destroy Christmas for a bunch of first graders. I don't blame them for firing her.
All you gotta do is tell them the truth. They'll be fine. They'll understand.
Well, what is the truth?
Well, that Santa lives at the North Pole, and hardly anybody ever sees him. But that doesn't.
Well, he's around all the time.
It's quite real. It's like climate warming. You deny it, but it is real, and we can show it. But you don't happen to see it on your front lawn in Shamokin Dam, so you don't think it's real.
What does climate warming have to do with Santa Claus? You're saying the North Pole's melting, and he's going to be out of a home?
An inconvenient truth.
So. You've got an inconvenient idea in your head.
Okay. So, well, it's, you know, this is probably part of the war on, this mythical war on Christmas. This was funny.
How mythical is it when a teacher does this?
Bad, way bad. But up in Lewisburg, some people were arguing that the reason the borough council wouldn't pay for new lights because they're participating, since Lewisburg's a more liberal community, that they were participating in the war on Christmas, and they were hoping that, you know, Christmas would become less of an event in Lewisburg, so the lights would be not illuminated this year was the goal, and then next year put up commercial quality lights or, you know, industrial strength lights. But now they just bought strings of lights just like you and I can buy. So, of course, if they have as bad of luck with their lights as I do with mine, they're headed for trouble in Lewisburg. But in any event.
Well, why did they not put them up in the first place? Because they were hoping Christmas would go away?
Right. They were, 10 years old. They were deteriorated and dangerous, so they didn't want to plug them in, so they didn't put them up. All right, so that's why the lights weren't illuminated this year, and they didn't have the money budgeted, and commercial lights are expensive, and it's
and people complained?
Right. People said, aha, you're doing the war on Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Council's doing the war on Christmas. So council agreed to do what you and I can do, go down to Kohl's Hardware, and they get somebody with a bucket truck to help them put the lights up, and that's what they're going to do, but only bowing to public pressure. You know, but, you know, obviously it's misplaced priority. They're going to spend, you know, $2,000-$5,000 for these lights now. And then in the future spend $30,000-$50,000 for lights in the trees later. You cannot.
So you believe this is an inappropriate expense for a municipality to decorate for Christmas?
Inappropriate's too strong. Just a misplaced priority. To put $50,000 worth of commercial lights in your downtown, in your trees, as your top priority means that you're overlooking other important
topics.
Have you
been to downtown Sealands Grove, seen how beautiful that looks with the decorations they have and the tree in the commons? I mean, and I was there for the tree lighting ceremony. It was beautiful.
There's not $50,000 worth of decorations in downtown Sealands Grove. Sorry.
Well, do you think
Sealands Grove looks wonderful, and the volunteers and SPY and the Chamber of Commerce and the Council and Sarah Lauver and Rick Meese, and those are the only two council members I know.
Well, how about the mayor, Mr. Reed? Do you know him?
Not personally, okay. No. But he's doing a good job. And the police chief,
Tom Garlow.
Right, are all doing a fabulous job making sure that the town's a well-oiled machine. But in any event, there's no way they spent $50,000 on that. Maybe even
well,
if
no, he says, is that what the choking point is for you, the amount? If they could do it for $9.95, you'd be okay with it?
$9.95?
Yeah.
Yeah, then it's just it's incidental. That's petty cash.
But $50,000, that's money.
And you think that's money well spent for decorations?
I do.
Oh, brother.
I think that, you know, decorating your downtown for the holiday season is a tradition that's longstanding in this country. And to not do it, I think, is playing right into the hands of the anti-Christmas warriors
okay.
You deny.
It's the war on Christmas. I knew it. All right. So what do you think? Is Lewisburg's misplaced priorities so worthy of review on this show?
Well, how much are they spending for the temporary
year,
lights?
This year, I think that, Matt, what's the cap? Susan Kaufman of the Lewisburg Downtown Partnership said there's a cap on how much the council will spend this year on lights.
4, I don't know about a cap, but I know that the lights that they were trying to get were $50,000.
But those are the permanent ones. But the temporary ones, like $4,000 total?
I don't know about exact monetary amount, but I know that the lights will last about 3 or 4 years before, which gives them, the borough council, enough cushion for them to try and come up with the money, the $50,000 they need to get the actual industrial lights that will last them for decades.
And wasn't there a GoFundMe page started by the
citizens? There was there wasn't a whole lot of money raised, but that is now in a restricted account under the Lewisburg Downtown Partnership, so they have that there now, so we'll see if that gets used in the future.
Well, good for the people of Lewisburg. Thank goodness Grinch over here isn't up there.
Well, I just think, you know, you have a very tight budget. Taxes keep going up. You know, at what point do you stop turning to the taxpayers and say, oh, we need more policing. Oh, we need more lights.
Should we have a shade tree commission that decides what trees should be planted? Should we have a planning commission that determines what the community should look like? It's part of living in a community. If you want to live out in the woods with the bears, go out and put a tent out in the middle of the woods. You won't have to worry about Christmas decorations.
You can tell you've been in municipal government for a half a century because you think $50,000 and a tax increase is nothing. And it isn't.
I didn't say a tax increase was nothing. I just consider it.
Well,
you said it was
necessary.
A misplaced expenditure. I say it's a legitimate expense of government.
Right. I think a reasonable amount of money, $7,000, you know, that's Lawrence's worthless cap on spending for Christmas decorations in a municipality. The size of Lewisburg seems satisfactory.
Oh, I'd be interested in hearing your formula, how you arrived at that conclusion.
It's 25 cents, or no, it's $1 per person.
And there are 7,000
people
in Lewisburg. Okay.
Right. So it's $1 per man, woman, and child in Lewisburg.
Well, then by that criteria, New York City should spend, what, $9 million on Christmas decorations?
They probably do, if only just on security for Rockefeller Center and all the other areas. A friend of mine visited over the weekend and said, the police presence, as always now in New York, is super visible.
Well, I think that they made the right decision to put up something temporary.
What?
I think they really should have planned if they knew the other ones were getting bad. I think maybe you're right that they were hoping this would go away. But now that they're not, I mean, it's the kind of thing, if you knew the decorations were failing, they were getting older, you could have started putting money aside for them years ago so that no tax increase was necessary. Just putting a few bucks away in a reserve account. We do it all the time in the borough of Shamokin Dam.
Well, to be
clear, we don't borrow for something, we save for it.
Oh, well said. It's like Dave Ramsey all over again, only municipal-wise. Well, and to be clear, Lewisburg hasn't raised taxes just to pay for Christmas lights. They've raised taxes consistently lately. From the time Mike Malasevich got off council, taxes have just been going up and up. And this is the kind of thing that are part of the misplaced priorities in Lewisburg, says Lawrence.
It says Bah Humbug.
Right. No Christmas decorations at all.
That should
whatsoever.
Be your name, Bah Humbug.
Or if the Lewisburg Downtown Partnership wants to do it, that's private money. They can do it. But I don't think taxpayers should
suffer. I think
suffer.
You're heading for a lump of coal in your stocking.
Well, that could be. It's the miracle on Market Street is a classic example of poor prioritization.
And then you have this teacher over there in New Jersey telling kids there's no Santa Claus.
Right. So that's the war on Christmas all over again. Are you done yet? Is there any other war on Christmas we need to know about?
Well, I don't know. We have other things to talk about. I just thought I'd bring this one up.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. We're ignoring the pregnant elephant in the room.
No, we're going to get get to that. Okay. I thought you were going to take a break first.
Yep, we are going to. Our open phone lines, if you...
I don't think that pregnant elephant is the correct way to describe that. The elephant in the room.
Oh, that's just a metaphor. Oh, you and that PETA thing. Yeah, don't disparage as elephants. I got you.
Right.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Call us immediately if you agree that putting up tens of thousands of dollars in Lewisburg lights is misplaced priorities and a waste of the tax increase money. Call us now.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back. One person agrees with me. The Lewisburg light issue in Lewisburg is an issue for the taxpayers of Lewisburg to decide. No one else.
I would say he agrees with me, not with you.
No, he agrees
You're
with
me. You're
saying
it's a misplaced expenditure. He's saying, as I say, it's up to the people of Lewisburg if they want to spend that money, and apparently they do.
Okay.
Yeah, you're trying to frame
this thing. Not everybody. Not everybody. There's conservative council members, and there's realistic people in town that don't want to spend that money.
Well, Bill Bowman wrote an excellent story in today's Daily Item about the headline is Expectant Mother Fired from Job, Catholic School Dismisses Teacher for Being Pregnant Out of Wedlock.
This was on WKOK.
Right, yeah, you had it on
long
there,
before
right.
then, but go
Well,
ahead.
No, I'm just quoting this story that I don't have your story in front of me. Well, it's briefer. I mean, we write for brevity on radio, and the paper writes for more detail. You would agree with that, would you not?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, in any event, Mr. Bowman wrote a story that said a Lewisburg regional teacher dismissed from her position after informing school officials of a planned pregnancy, said Tuesday she was aware of the consequences when she and her longtime partner decided to start a family. She said, I wasn't blind or stupid to the fact the Catholic Church's moral code and the expectation that their employees follow it. Teacher, Nyad? Reich said Tuesday afternoon, of course I knew that, but I'm 32 years old and I don't have forever to start a family. Reich, who was in her second year teaching at Lourdes, said she and her longtime boyfriend, Matt Grabowski, planned the pregnancy. She is due in June. She informed the school administrator, Sister Mary Ann Bednar, last week that she was pregnant. It was a planned situation, so I wouldn't have to take time off. She said it wasn't an issue of time off, but I was unmarried. Bednar, who did not respond to requests for comment to the Associated Press, reached out to the diocese, Reich said, noting that they replied, if there was not a definite marriage plan in place, it was going to be a problem. And so they fired her. In the meantime, there is another story making the rounds today from the news outlets. Decades after their crimes were reported and largely ignored, more than 78 Catholic priests accused of child sex abuse are still collecting paychecks and pensions from Pennsylvania dioceses. What is wrong with that picture?
Okay, so they're all out of commission, right? There's not a single one that you're talking about that is serving in any place or has access to any children.
Well, this is a story by Cindy Woodall from the York Daily Record. She said, each of these priests has been removed from ministry by Pennsylvania bishops, but the Pope himself needs to sign off on all clerics being removed from the priesthood and the payroll. That process, formerly known as a laitization, it can take years or decades if it happens at all.
Well, so the church continues to pay them in their retirement. I guess that's bad, but...
Well, no, you're missing the moral issue here.
Okay,
they're firing
please.
This lady...
The correlation.
On moral grounds, in effect that she doesn't follow the moral teachings of the Catholic Church.
Right, they don't want to pay somebody who's immoral.
Right, but then here they are playing, I'm certain that the moral fiber of the Catholic Church is opposed to priests molesting children, yet they're getting paid...
What evidence do you see of that?
Well, I would hope that's not a tenet of our faith that it's okay to do that. Would you agree with me that no religion on earth actually condones it? But some of them apparently, at least the Catholic Church, has in the past swept it under the rug to a certain extent. Now they say they're out trying to do the right thing, and I commend them for that. But here's a woman who, you know, didn't lie about it. She went in and told them. You know, she said, I guess she could have done the easy and quick thing and rushed out and got a marriage license and gotten married. But, you know, she said, right now our focus is on having the baby and planning for that. And, you know, it's today's world. I mean, maybe 60, 70 years ago, this was a big deal. But by today's standards, I think the Catholic Church has larger fish to fry.
Well, I think that's true. But I think when she got hired by this particular company, she's not Catholic. So she's, you know, she knew that she was a lay employee of a religious company, and that the religious company is now enforcing morality laws. In the past, they didn't used to, but now they do. She is one of many, many, many people let go from the Catholic jobs at schools and other locations because you're out of lockstep in an obvious way with the Catholic teachings. I mean, this isn't the first time you and I have done a story about about somebody who fired from the Catholic Church or Catholic school because they got pregnant or got found out. A lot of people just get found out because the church finds out that they're living with somebody or that they're gay or something like that.
What's the difference? Suppose you miss Mass. That's supposed to be a no-no, too.
Well, yeah.
You're supposed to go to church every week. You're supposed to attend Mass. What if you skip? Can you be fired?
Well, if the church chose to, usually the things that they fire you for are things that are really obvious. You know, that it's obvious she's going to be pregnant, you know, and it's obvious in the community that she's a parent at some point. So that's usually what they, you know, if you're just going to fire people in the Catholic Church for being sinful, well, then the Pope's going to be the only one left.
Well, and I'm not so sure he'd make it.
Well, he doesn't have anybody to fire him, though. He'd be the only one left. He'd fire everybody else, but then nobody's there to fire him.
Well, look.
He'd have to quit.
You know, obviously, in an ideal world, you know, if you go back to the argument, you've argued many times that marriage, the institution of marriage isn't what it used to be. You've taken the side that gays should be married, and you've taken the side that other people should be allowed to participate in that wonderful institution,
right,
regardless of how traditional or non-traditional they may be.
Right. It's called standing up for human beings.
Okay. Well, now, here you're not standing up for this human being.
Well, I just think she had an employment agreement with a company that said, you know, you must do X,
not
Y,
a company,
and Z.
A religious organization.
Well, it doesn't matter.
They aren't selling beans and cakes over there.
Well, I see the irony, but the fact of the matter is, you know, she went in the front door there and said, hi, I'd like to teach for you. And they said, okay, well, that's fine. Here's your classroom. Here's that. In order to teach, we want you to teach English to these high schoolers, and you must remain chaste.
Oh, I don't think that's part of the deal.
Oh, I think it is. Yeah, well, they call it immorality. So, you know, you get fired for immorality. So being married out of wedlock, or being out of wedlock, living with somebody, and then having a baby with them is immoral in their view.
Well, if they knew she was living with someone she wasn't married to.
I'm not sure that they did. There's no evidence of that.
There's no evidence of that.
Well, not in the reports that we've seen. AP has a version. News Item has a story. Bill Bowman, you said, finally got a story going here. But there's no indication that they were aware of the live-in situation.
Well, still, you know,
in advance.
In today's world, that's not that unusual.
Oh, I understand that, but the Catholic Church is interested in their, you know, their look. I'm not looking at this as a religious. If you want to have the moral and human discussion about this, go ahead. I'm just saying she happens to have signed an employment agreement that says if you violate these certain tenets, we're not going to need you as a teacher anymore. She did, so she's gone.
Well, I don't think it said specifically if you have a child out of wedlock, you're fired. I think it said you agree to abide by the moral tenets of the Catholic Church. But if you're not a Catholic, you know, how do you do that? Are you required to learn what they are so that you can adhere to them?
Yeah, I'm sure they lay them
or
out.
Or do they give you a list
of
all
the no-no? Abortion, no, you know, cohabitating with anybody of any sex.
Well, then why did they hire her? I mean, if they, you know, why was she hired in the first place?
I think you're asked to live up to these things, but they don't necessarily check on them.
Okay.
You know, I don't think they dig into your personal life and say, aha, you were masturbating on such and such a date, so you're not allowed to be working for us. So, but it was obvious when she informed them that she was pregnant and she's not married, so then they let her go. 1-800-795-9565. We'll take this up after the top of the hour.
Well, I think we should skip the news and keep on going because you obviously are in need of an attitude adjustment here today.
I'm just saying why she got fired. I'm not standing up for them. I'm just telling you that this is what happens. If you're not married and you work for the Catholic Church and you get pregnant, guess what? You're out of violation with the employment agreement that you agreed to.
But what if she was a great teacher? You know, what if she was
an outstanding teacher? So you think she should stay on?
If she's not teaching morality to the children, if she's not in there saying, you know, me and my live-in are having a baby and, you know, and you don't need to bother getting married because we are doing it this way, then I would say that, you know, they might have an argument. But here she's hired for a specific thing, teaching them, and apparently from what the story implies, she was a good teacher. So shouldn't that count for something? If she was doing her job, if she was teaching the children well, if she wasn't unduly influencing them like this teacher from New Jersey who tells a group of first graders there's no Santa Claus, then why would you fire her?
I'm waiting for our Catholic producer to weigh in on this.
I think he's hiding under the covers over there.
No, he's doing a super job and not saying anything. That's the true proof of a real producer. So you can hear them yelling over there, but it's not into the mic.
We hear it through the windows.
One of our listeners sends us a text, says all the teacher had to do was to get married first. Well, thank you, Stan. Guess what? For the first time all month, Stan and I are on precisely the same page. All right, we're going to talk about Naiad Reich when we return on WKOK Sunbury, 9 a.m.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Mark Lawrence here, host of the show. Mr. Matt Catrillo is our producer. Joe McGranahan is our co-host today. And we're going to do some brief news headlines. And we got a caller standing by on one of the topics that we talked about today. So we're going to love to hear from everybody today. And we have two topics going. One, we talked about the Lewisburg lights. I say it's misplaced priorities. Joe said it's a perfectly normal expense to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax increase money on downtown lights. And we also talked about a teacher being let go out at the Catholic school system in the Shamokin area because she is unwed and pregnant. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. Throughout our program, you're welcome to text us at 70236, and you can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. That's funny.
You're on the wrong microphone.
Yeah, I know.
For that
I
to
pushed
work
the wrong button. Isn't that funny?
Just cough in our ears.
Yeah. Don't worry about old Joe's hearing. It's already shot. All right. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out more at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to do as I've done. Go to the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Tell them I want new mud flaps. I'm talking about our Edge out there. The XUV vehicle is ready for new mud flaps, and it is also ready for inspection. It needs to be serviced. It needs new filters. I want to be pumped up with nitrogen, and I'm going to do so when they're open, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. They would just love to super serve you at the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. It's a place where you can go for an alignment, body work, car wash, you name it, and a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle. They got it all at the Sunbury Motor Company. Quick Lane area, sunburymotors.com is their website. Some brief news headlines. A Sealands Grove couple hit by a vehicle last night on North Market Street in the borough. John and Patricia went crossing the street. She was taken to Geisinger. He had minor injuries, and the incident did lead to the driver receiving a traffic citation. Susquehanna University will soon have armed public safety officers on campus. In a letter to parents Monday, SU President Dr. Jonathan Green says the university's decided to offer a limited number of campus police to carry weapons. He says it will include, or it will allow them to enhance safety and tighten up existing campus security measures, deter incidents, and improve response time. Some students protested this idea yesterday at the campus of Susquehanna University, the idea that police would be carrying a firearm. A teacher for a class in New Hampshire in which students were videotaped singing about the Ku Klux Klan to the tune of Jingle Bells. That teacher has been placed on administrative leave. The Dover superintendent in New Hampshire told the paper that putting John Carver on leave will allow school officials to fully investigate what happened. Cell phone footage surfaced over the weekend of the students singing KKK, KKK, let's kill all the blacks in a class at the Dover High School. The superintendent said in a letter to the school community the incident was part of a class assignment about the Reconstruction period in American history. Carver has not responded to requests for comments. And imagine living in a town that gets a lot of snow, but the borough council banned snowball fights for this 9-year-old boy in Severance, Colorado. It was indeed unimaginable, and he did something about it. Dane Best took his fight against the snowball ban to the town board Monday night. Members of the board voted unanimously to lift the ban. Speaking before the hearing, Dane says he thinks the snowball fight ban was an outdated law. He said he wanted to be able to throw a snowball without getting into trouble, and now the law has been lifted. He says he's already got a target for his icy projectiles, his 4-year-old brother, Dax. Meantime, Dane may have yet another issue to take up before the board. He owns a guinea pig, which is an illegal animal in Severance, Colorado. You would ban snowballs at Shemokin Dam
if you could. No, I think snowball fights are fun as long as nobody gets hurt. What's wrong with a little fun?
Right. All right. We talked about the Lewisburg Lights.
You just sucked the life out of everything today.
I haven't done anything. I make life more fun. All right. Let's start out with an email that relates to the Lewisburg Lights. Joe.
Right. Our friend EB says, isn't it funny how conservatives accuse liberals of being overly sensitive, easily offended snowflakes? Yet when a town doesn't put up Christmas lights, they start crying and whining. Boo-hoo. Grow up, crybabies. Oh, wait. I forgot that your cult leader, Dumb Donald Trump, has brought whining back.
Bobby, what's your view on the Lewisburg Lights?
Hello?
Oops, I got to push the button.
Why do you have to have 100?
Go ahead. Yeah, start over, please. I'm sorry.
I mean, couldn't you have a minimal amount of lights? You don't have to have $100,000 for the lights. And not only that, but why doesn't Bucknell pay for it, considering I think it costs $89,000 a year to go there, and there's like 4,000 people. I mean, wouldn't you think, because they don't pay any taxes, at least they could do is do that?
Well, they
did
do
you
payments
see where there's a
taxes.
House in Lewisburg that was owned by the person who founded Lewisburg, and they're tearing it down to build a car lot?
That's out on, that's out on Route 45.
Yeah, that's in East Buffalo Township.
That's not in the borough.
Well, they're tearing it down, but it was owned by Bucknell, and the founder lived in that.
Who, Ludwig Durr founded it?
Well, whoever founded Bucknell.
Oh, Bucknell. Moore, I think his name is.
Well, anyway, so he found it, but they asked Bucknell to buy it and make it into, say, I don't know what.
Well, they'd have to move it.
Right, that was the problem, moving it.
It's in the middle of the car lot now.
Well, just make it a historic thing, and then you wouldn't have to move it.
Anyway,
well,
back
to the people who bought the lot, the car dealership, they need the land for their business, and so they offered
it. I know, but let me just tell you something about the car business. The car business is starting to collapse, so I don't know why they're doing another big car lot, because, I mean, look at GM. They just are firing 18,000 people in Lordstown. I don't think they should be building another car lot.
Well, you'd have to take that up with a particular dealership. They bought the land and the house. They offered anybody could have the building for free.
Right. I know that. But, I mean, come on. They don't have to build. They don't have to tear that house down. I mean, but let's get to the point. Bucknell University pays no taxes. The endowments are probably in the multi-millions of dollars. They have alumni funds. I mean, couldn't they at least put up and pay for the a minimal amount of decorations in lieu of paying taxes? I want to say something about the Seal and Scope thing, with the Susquehanna thing. That is a huge mistake. having police carry guns. First of all, I don't believe that any police should even have guns.
None?
I believe what they should have, and I believe that you and anybody there should carry this. This is what I carry, and that's wasp spray. Wasp spray can shoot out 30 feet with little tiny dots. The minute they touch you, it burns your skin, it burns your eyes. A gun can only have a little tiny thing that could shoot out. These, if they're going to carry something at Susquehanna, they should be carrying wasp spray. That way you can shoot out 50 things. You don't kill somebody. You don't kill a bystander. And they're going to have to be careful, because when you start having students who drink, you know what's going to happen on campus now for this next year.
The alcohol
abuse. All these people that are drinking
in
fraternities,
well,
you're going to come
wasp,
in contact with these police.
Suppose some of that wasp spray gets in your beer.
Well, then you don't carry the wasp spray anymore. You just drink the beer. But anyway, I, at some point, I would like to talk about this. One of the things I'd like to talk about, we talked about the immigration thing, but I didn't quite finish my comment the other day. But I wanted to mention something about this so-called witch hunt.
Yeah.
Could I say something real quickly about that?
Sure.
Go ahead. You've
okay.
got the floor.
Here's the thing. First of all, there was no evidence whatsoever of probable cause to even have this investigation. Even James Clapper said at the beginning, I watched him on an interview, we did a 6 month investigation, there was no there there. Okay, so if that's the case, first of all, this thing should never have been allowed with Mueller. But let's say it has been going on, $33 million, they haven't found anything. Well, wouldn't you say that if you haven't found anything in over a year's time, that this would be considered a hoax?
Well, haven't multiple people been indicted as a result of this investigation?
No,
not for collusion.
Nothing. Flynn, they got him on a white lie, and then suppose he's coming out. His white lie was, they said, I thought you said you had salmon at that thing where the Russians were. And he said, oh, I thought I had roast beef. Do you get what I'm saying? It's a setup.
You're arguing it was de minimis. You're arguing that what he lied about was de minimis, not really important.
Exactly. It's white lies. And, I mean, come on. I mean, this is a serious, serious issue we have with the Justice Department, with Mueller. But here's what I'm saying. If you find it to be, and you tell me if you agree with this, and I think you will, if there's no probable cause, you go through this, there's $33 million, there's nobody proven to have any anything. They've already shown that it had nothing to do with the election. No voting machines were ever affected by this. Okay, anywhere, on any local level. And one of the reasons is a lot of these elections are very local, so the Russians couldn't affect any of it. But what I'm getting at is, don't you think when you have a thing like this, like a hoax, and then it's on a political level, wouldn't you call that what? Wouldn't you call that a coup d'etat?
Not really.
And coup d'etats are against the law in this country. That's a form of a treason. I mean, when you're after somebody to get rid of them in office and you have no evidence in the setup, that's called a coup d'etat.
But we don't know yet what evidence may or may not be there. I mean,
there. Even James Clapper said there was nothing. They're going after a fishing expedition. There is nothing connected to Trump after a year's time. What I'm saying is what I don't understand, why Trump isn't doing what they did in Turkey 6 months ago with the president of Turkey. Why isn't he going with one of his generals and taking, let's say, Navy SEALs or somebody, and going and handcuffing Mueller, handcuffing Hillary Clinton, handcuffing George Soros, handcuffing Paul Ryan, who's a Republican, and taking them to Guantanamo and questioning them by the FBI, saying, who started this thing?
All right.
Who started it? Where did it start? What table was it done? What restaurant or where was it started? And if they lie, they should put him in jail immediately, just like they did Martha Stewart for lying to the FBI.
No,
they
want
to have this lie thing
instead.
about Flynn and about Cozy and about Stone. What about lying about Mueller and Hillary Clinton, how this thing was started? This is a coup d'etat.
All right, we got you.
The Constitution to go against somebody who is an elected president.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Bobby. Thanks for calling. Thanks for
thank
being
you.
Here.
Your comments.
A great
I hope you agree with me.
Not really, but thanks for calling.
We do. All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. 1-800-795-9565. We'll take a quickie break. We're talking about Lewisburg lights and a teacher fired in the Catholic Church. We have one email related to a teacher who was fired from a Catholic schools because she's unwed. And
in our area,
Preggers, as they say on Facebook. 1-800-795-9565. I'm simply arguing that she knew that these were the rules when she went in. Joe says there should be some humanity involved or something. I don't know. We'll talk about this when we return. We invite you to join us. Call us now on the teacher termination. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565.
I decided to write a little song. Here goes. My hometown pharmacy is great because of all these things. Personalized service, friendly employees. They're always glad to see me. They help out my whole family. My grandmom really likes them, and she's super picky. They know me by my nickname. Bet you still can't guess mine. Ha, ha, ha. Pharmacists who care. Really low prices and all that other stuff that my mom likes, but I just don't understand. Happy holidays from me, hometown kid, and from everyone at the hometown pharmacies in Bloomsburg, Northumberland, Lewisburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, Mifflinburg, and Danville. And Happy New Year. P.S. My nickname is not Hometown Kid.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
tools.
Yes, that's right. It's that time of year again. Lewisburg Builder Supply is bringing back our 12 Days of Tools sale. Every Monday through Friday between December 3rd and the 18th, we'll unwrap another must-have tool to make your Christmas shopping merry and bright. Don't miss out for the unveiling of each daily deal on our Facebook page, or come into the store and stock up on Christmas gifts that even Santa would approve of. From our family to yours, have a very Merry Christmas.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, Mark Lawrence here, back on the proper mic, so I won't cough you to death again. We have an email that relates to terminating a teacher who's pregnant.
Right. The gentleman or the writer, I don't know whether it's a gentleman or a gentlewoman, says most Catholics in the U.S. are smorgasbord Catholics. They pick and choose which teachings of the church they will abide by and go on seeing themselves as good Catholics. But if you work for the church and sign a contract saying you'll abide by the moral teachings of the Catholic Church, no matter how out of date they may seem in today's world, you are bound by that agreement as you would be in any contract. Okay, well, let me give you this scenario. This is a couple that is married, and they're having a child, and they get divorced. That's against the teachings of the Catholic Church. Do you think they'd fire her for that?
They might.
Should they?
Well, I don't think they should.
What is worse, a loving and committed couple living together, not married, having a child that they plan to raise and care for, or a married couple who have a child and are fighting all the time and get a divorce?
Well, I don't know that I can pass that judgment along or decide which is worse, but here's the rub. She works for a private company called the Catholic Church. They have a set of rules. She's out of compliance, so they let her go. That's all. I know we're layering on this.
But do they ever employ a divorced person?
And everybody says, you know, well, look at the hypocrites. You know, look what the Catholic priests are doing, so this is worse. Or look at, that they should be forgiving she's a sinner, but she's going to be in front of students. You know, they tell you to make sure you're married before you have any babies. Her students know that she's single. She teaches high school, so she's going to be setting an example every time she steps in front of the class, and that's a violation
but
of the
I
policies.
But I don't think the class would know her marital status.
No, what?
Would they? You know, I mean, a lot of people go by their maiden names, and people, I know married people who teach, and they're still Miss Miller, not Mrs.
Joe
Gonzalez.
people in Australia know she's single.
Now they do.
Well, they would have known before. Well, they wouldn't have known in Australia, but they would know in Edgewood, the neighborhood where the school's located.
So you're saying that these children are so fragile that knowing that their teacher isn't married...
No, they're not fragile. They're impressionable. You set an example. Joe, you went to Catholic... Oh, you went to public schools.
No, I went to public
schools. Well, you know that in Catholic schools, the teachers are asked to set an example in what they teach and what they do and how they look and how they live. You don't... Faith isn't just an add-on. It's not something you do Sunday morning.
Then
it's something you are.
I go back to the other thing. Suppose they're divorced. Which is the greater sin, having a child out of wedlock or being divorced? They're both against the teachings of the Catholic Church. So if we're going to fire you for one, do we fire you for both?
Was she going to make it get an annulment?
Well, that's the only thing the Catholic Church accepts.
Well,
they don't accept divorce.
Right. You give them $500, they'll give you your annulment.
Well, I think, that's cynical. I don't think they're quite that bad.
Well, that's what it costs.
I don't think you automatically get it if you have a going with $500 check.
Mm. Oh, no, it's not automatic. They give you these
make it sound like they're selling indulgences out the back door again.
You caught that. Aren't you smart? Wow, you are full of subtle catches today. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We'll take your calls on this. We're talking about teacher terminated, Lourdes Regional. Diocese says it's because of immorality. She agrees. She knows she violated. One call coming in, one waiting. Paul, should they be letting this teacher go?
Well, Joe, I got a question to ask you. What does the Catholic... except as a marriage, because if you look at your scripture, that Adam and Eve did not have any vows that they took, nor did they have anybody that ordained their marriage, and yet they had lots of children. And then if you go on further down, you'll find out that Leah was the oldest of a group of girls, and the oldest had to be married first before any of the other girls could get married. But yet Leah had a child out of wedlock before Moses married Rachel. So
what?
Now...
What's this have to do with a teacher in Cole Township?
It sounds like one of those novellas you see on Hispanic television.
Listen, anything in the Old Testament is old history. The New Testament involves you getting married with a priest and living a priestly life.
I know, but here's the problem. Do you abide by man's law that he made now, or do you go by scripture law that was made when man was created?
The Pope has this all figured out. When you get married, you have to go get counseling, and you have to have it done in a church, and you have to be chaste. You can't have been married before.
That's man's law. That is man's law.
Right. No argument there, but that's the rules that we live by. We don't live...
No.
Moses doesn't physically control our lives anymore.
I know, Mark, but you're saying that the people have to live by two separate laws.
Right, yeah, that's true. Yeah, church law and man's law.
That's right.
Right, and that she's out of compliance with the church law.
All right, so then what do they do?
Well, they fired her. And they did the right thing.
Okay, so then, in other words, if you don't abide by the Catholics' laws of the church, they can also discommunicate you.
Excommunicate.
Or excommunicate. They can throw you out of the church.
Discommunicate is when I turn off Joe's mic in the middle of a sentence.
Yeah, right. Well, then you excommunicate me from the program at that point. But seriously, that's an entirely different thing. I don't think this rises to the level of excommunication. But it raises moral questions that I don't think the Catholic Church has properly addressed, and that's my opinion as a lay member of that faith.
Well, if that be the case, Joe, then the reason that they abandoned the law of a common law wife is that if you live together for 7 years, you are automatically married. And that was done in Scripture,
but that's
too.
Man's law. That is man's law, and that varies from state to state.
That was a religious law.
But it varies from state to state. It's imposed by the state, not by the faith.
All right, wrap it up,
Paul. How would you describe a marriage then? Does it have to be through the church? Does it have to be through the man?
Well, I mean, years ago, the Catholic Church taught that if you weren't married in the Catholic Church, you weren't married. You know, that has softened somewhat since Vatican Council II, and, you know, and we don't take that view anymore, you know, and I think we even accept the fact that you might go to heaven if you aren't one of us.
One of our local Catholics sends a text, says they should be miserable like the rest of us Catholics. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. Dan, thanks for waiting. You are on the mark.
Well, there's one other thing that no one mentioned. I guess the other option was that she have an abortion, and then everything would be hunky-dory, and nobody would know.
Oh, no, then she'd be way out of compliance.
But you're right. But you bring up a good point. If she found out she was pregnant and went and had an abortion, nobody would know.
That's the shame of it all. I think it's terrible.
And that's, I think, worse morally than two people living together without benefit of wedlock and having a child.
I agree.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
That's a good point, Dan.
Thanks for calling in. One of our listeners comments on Facebook, I'm not sure how anyone can even take this religion seriously anymore. Let's fire someone who's pregnant with her significant other's child because it's not okay, but priests and pedophilia go together like peanut butter and jelly. The irony of this, you pointed out that, you know, they still pay and have the pensions for priests that have been accused multiple times of pedophilia, and the Catholic Church says, okay, you can stay on our payroll, you know, but...
Well, until the Pope says you can't.
Right, but he's got other stuff to do.
I'm sure that's not on his radar screen. He'd be a very busy man. That's all he'd get done is going around the world looking to see which Catholic priests need to be laicized.
Well, but then now you have an individual who's, you know, doing, by all accounts anyway, is a good teacher, but because of the fact that she has stepped out of line with her contract, she's not going to work there anymore. So, all right, and she's taking it quite well. Channel 16 had her on camera. She, you know, she's just discussing it. As a matter of factly, she kind of knew this was coming.
So suppose, as our last caller said, our Dan from, was it Mifflinburg?
Elysburg
called in, and he said, well, what if she had an abortion? Well, what if she did? Would they give her a job back? She said, okay, well, I'm going to go get an abortion, then I won't be pregnant anymore. Can I get my job back?
That's a bad question.
But seriously, I mean, these are the kind of moral issues that I think in today's world, because we are accepting so many things that are not traditional anymore. We're accepting gay marriage.
We should not be accepting anything?
No, I think we need to go back and review everything. I mean, I think there's a certain obligation of any church, any religious organization, to be fair, true to their faith, but also fair in their dealings with the people who practice it.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. I say that she had an employment contract. One of the clauses is immorality. She's out of compliance with that, so they let her go. That's perfectly appropriate. Joe says there's a human, sinful, natural side to this. And
I didn't say anything about sin.
Well, you said having an abortion is a sin, so what should she do next?
Well, I think it's wrong. You know, the Catholic Church says it's a sin. What you and I say may be entirely different, but it's not a crime. It may be a sin, but it's not a crime.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We'll take all comers on this conversation. Should she be let go, or should she stay on? 1-800-795-9565. Welcome back, WKOK. You okay, buddy?
Oh, the irony of this music, Kiss You All Over.
Oh, okay. We should have used that yesterday. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. I'm simply arguing that this young woman had a contract with the Lourdes Regional School District to uphold their moral agreement. She signed it, said yes, went against it. Now she's out. I'm simply saying that that is the school's prerogative. Joe, trying to be all human about it, which is, this is, the tables have turned, really. Usually he's the inhumane one when it comes to people.
I beg your pardon.
We have Bob waiting from Shamokin. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Gentlemen, well, I would happen to agree with you that she did sign a contract. And also, I would put forward that I've known a lot of teachers in the public school district who also... Even public school districts have moral clauses. And I know that some teachers have went to great lengths when they're out having a few adult beverages to make sure their picture's never taken, because out of fear that there could be a repercussion if somebody made a stink about this. But the other thing that surprised me was Joe saying, well, you know, sort of saying, well, we need to get with modern times or whatever, or the church needs to, you know, get with it. And then he brought up gay marriage. Well, the church does not recognize gay marriage and never will, because they say marriage is for the procreation, and obviously in a gay marriage that's not possible. But the other thing, my question back to Joe now would be, if we're to bend to the norms of society, instead of the Catholic Church staying as the moral compass of which always stays straight and always stays the same morally, if we're to bend, should we have bent at the time of Caesar to make things easier? Should we have bent in the 30s to Hitler and said, it's okay to kill the Jews?
Well, there are many people who believe that Pope Pius did allow that tacitly, if not overtly.
And when you read the true documents, you find out that behind the scenes he was working greatly.
He makes a good argument. Right, I agree with you. He makes a great argument. But here's, I didn't specifically mean the Catholic Church. I'm saying society today is dealing with all of these issues, things that we never dealt with before. And I think that from a legal standpoint...
But you're dealing with a Catholic institution.
Right.
So should the church... Or the other thing is, remember that in very recent history of the church, there's been a great deal of criticism for looking the other way, brushing things under the rug amongst misconduct amongst priests. So now we should all advocate to go ahead and brush this under the rug and turn away when a teacher did, according to the church, a misconduct. And I mean, I'm not advocating that she should have been fired. Certainly she knew that that was a possibility. Perhaps could have been a compromise where she was suspended until after the child was born, so that it didn't bring the obvious, as she would show more look upon everyone to say, oh, look, you're being hypocritical again.
But the answer, you planted the seeds to the answer to your question in your own comments about the teachers who will go out drinking alcoholic beverages and don't want to get their picture taken. They're being very careful to make sure that no one knows they possibly have violated that clause. This woman, who apparently was a good teacher, was straightforward and honest. She came forward and told the principal, the school, the situation, and for that she was fired. You know,
In the news article, she was also straightforward and honest and said that her and her boyfriend planned to violate these rules, executed a timeline to violate these rules so that she wouldn't miss work, and then after she did violate the rules and knew that soon she would start the show, she then went forward and admitted that she violated the rules. So, again, she consciously violated the rules, and that she said this is a planned pregnancy. It wasn't in books or anything like that, that they planned to do this. Well, they could have simply, if they're going to be in this committed relationship now, obviously for the next 18 years with this child that they're going to share, they could have planned a wedding and then planned a baby.
Okay, but let me ask you this. What happens if today she and that guy go out and decide to get married, and they go to the Justice of the Peace and they tie the knot? Does she get her job back?
Well, I don't, you know, again, that's not, but see, she would be married by the Justice of the Peace. And that was the one question that the diocese asked. Does she have plans to get married?
And if
again,
she had said
she
yes, if she'd have said yes,
no.
They would have kept her, right?
Probably, or maybe just suspended her till the marriage happened or whatever, to at least show that they were acting on it. Again, for the past few years, we've heard how the church didn't act on when something was wrong, and they were terribly wrong. And I agree, they were terribly wrong in that. But now they're being criticized because they did act when they found something out. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword.
But let me ask you this. If she was teaching the kids well, and she was doing her job well, and the kids liked her, and the parents liked her, and she was, you know, giving them a good education, shouldn't that count for something? She isn't there arguing that immorality is a good thing. She isn't there flaunting herself, saying, you know, young girls, you don't have to bother getting married. Go out and have an affair and live with somebody. She isn't saying that.
Don't actions speak louder than words?
In some cases, but if her actions were that she was a good person, she's living in a loving and committed relationship, and she and her...
Except not in the eyes of God. She's not living in a loving and committed relationship in the eyes of God. So she was doing something immoral.
But people who get married all the time...
We're teaching the kids that it's okay to be immoral.
But Bob, people get married all the time and then break their vows and wind up getting divorced. They don't lose their jobs over it.
Again, it would depend on what the job is. You know, the people who go down to the Hershey School and act as house parents for the children at the Milton Hershey School, if they get divorced, fired. It's part of the rules.
All right, we got
They're instantly fired. So it's again the same thing. It's the rules of the contract. You have certain rules with your job here. You know, you can't turn on the microphone and go into a profanity-laden diatribe.
Well, I could, but I won't be back tomorrow.
Right, exactly. You would be fired because part of the rules are that you don't do things like that, or there's repercussions. Well, right. Part of her rules were that you follow the teaching of the Catholic Church the way you live, or there's repercussions. I think her reason for coming forward to the press is because now she's left everybody know that, from all accounts, she's a good teacher, and she's available.
Right,
she's
and gonna, the diocese is a bunch of hypocrites.
She's going to use this to go to the public school somewhere for probably close to double her salary, and it's going to pay out way better. I think that's why she did it.
Right, this is an extended job interview. That thought crossed my mind, too. Now, folks, there's openings in Lewisburg and Warrior Run and other school districts, so she's got a little video resume.
I think
she'd
have a better chance of getting the job if she had kept her mouth shut and just applied for them and left.
Oh, I don't believe so. No, I think you can get...
Now it becomes a notoriety of hiring this famous teacher.
Okay. Well, right. Do you think the Catholic Church or the Lord's is going to give her a letter of recommendation based on her teaching ability?
Maybe.
I would think absolutely.
Right. All right.
Her job performance other than she didn't follow her morals.
I'd like to see that letter, Bob, if it's written.
She was... All right. Thank you so much, Bob.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob.
I'm wording that letter in my mind. You don't want to know what I came up with. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'll take all comers. We invite folks to call us. Had a vibrant Facebook discussion, and most people commenting on the Facebook simply said they thought it was hypocritical of the church to be coddling pedophile priests for so long, but then when you get somebody who's a good teacher and is honest about being pregnant, of course it'll be obvious at some point, that they would let her go. And I'm simply arguing that she had a contractual obligation to tell that she's pregnant, and they have a sound ground to let her go. It's not right, but I think they have sound ground to do so. But Joe's arguing, what are you arguing? What should the church do? What should the Lord's Regional School do?
Well, I think that they should be concerned about whether or not she's taking this into the classroom. I don't think they had to fire her.
That's going
to
be obvious.
They may have said to her, look, from the standpoint of you having, a child, it's going to be pretty obvious, and you're known as Miss Miller, Miss whatever your name is, Miss Reich, I think
Reich.
It is. You know, so that's going to be a problem. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to ask you to take a sabbatical or a leave of absence until you have the child.
Sabbatical?
A leave of absence.
Okay. A sabbatical.
Would you prefer that better?
It's a very clean sabbatical.
Yeah, very good. Right, sabbatical. Okay. But in any event, you're out of here until the child is born.
That's silly.
Why?
Well, the students are going to know why she's not there.
Well, all right, but still, if a child, if a young girl in the Catholic school, not unheard of, gets pregnant, she's moved out, isn't she?
Yeah. She has...
They know where she went. Other students know what happened to Sally.
She has mono. Yeah, that's it. She has mono. But don't worry, it's not contagious in this particular case.
She had chicken pox, and she'll be gone for 9 months.
Oh, brother. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Please call us immediately. We got 4 open lines. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565. Should they let this teacher go? Paul, what's your view on this? Oh, you get a follow-up. Okay, I'm sorry. You were already on. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. The discussion falls under the category of man getting paid back for eating from the tree of knowledge.
There you go. Well said. That's right. That's why she was fired, because of her sinful nature. Hers
she
is a little...
ate from the tree of knowledge?
Right.
That's right. She knew the difference between right and wrong and good and evil.
She did it. Okay. All right. Thank you, Paul.
Who was the serpent in this scenario, Paul?
The principal. All right. We'll take all comers. Bob from Shamokin has a follow-up. He was on the line earlier. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling.
I had to correct something Joe said. I know as an alumnus of Lourdes Regional, and it's still currently in the student handbook, that if a female becomes pregnant, that is a student, she's allowed to continue in classes. She's not removed.
They used to, but not anymore.
Well, Mark looked this up, and he was found, what, three school districts
right,
where they had different policies in each one.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm only speaking again about the schooling question, which is Our Lady of Lourdes. They do allow female students to stay.
Well, how do they justify that? Bob,
you can't be married
that?
And be going to school, but you... They can be pregnant.
Well, wait a second. You can't be married and
what?
Having a child and go to school, but you can be
well,
unmarried.
Well, because they figure that in all likelihood a 16- or 17-year-old isn't going to go through the processes to get married, or that a priest probably wouldn't marry somebody that young. I do know that in my graduating class, there was a girl who went through who had gotten pregnant, went through all the training, did everything, and the priest did agree to marry, and she was allowed to continue into school. But as a rule, if kids just ran off and got married, they wouldn't be allowed to go to school because in all likelihood it wouldn't be within the church.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I can understand that.
Gotcha, Bob.
So,
all right.
But yes, so if a girl does become pregnant, they do allow her to continue.
All right, thank you.
Again,
even though they know.
They usually recognize that a 17-year-old or a 16-year-old, it's an accident. It's not a planned event.
So you think that's the distinction, the fact that this was planned and the other is unplanned? But
well,
couldn't
I
you
think
make
it's also
the argument
distinction between a student and somebody who signs a contract for employment as an employee? There's a higher standard than what there would be necessarily for a student.
All right, we got to go, Bob.
There to be the example.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
really,
you,
thanks.
I think you
thanks
can make an
calls.
Argument that consensual sex would be a pretty much of an indicator that you were planned it.
No.
You knew what the consequences were.
Well, yeah, there's a big difference between planning and consequences. You put a bumper on your car, but you're not planning on crashing. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone.
Good analogy.
Thank you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, we got callers standing by, probably the last callers of the day. Chris is next on line three. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Yeah, to go back for a second to the New Jersey teacher and Santa Claus, at least I thought it was New Jersey. What if she had said, I don't believe in Santa Claus?
Well, that's what she did say.
No, she said there is no Santa Claus.
Well, that's the same thing as saying I don't believe in it. If you believe in it, there is one. If you don't, there isn't.
And is the teacher's personal opinion a factor in any of these important discussions?
Yeah, she says, well, is Santa Claus coming to your house? And she says, well, I don't believe in Santa Claus.
Well,
is that fireable offense? I don't think so.
Well, in
and
this
now
case...
to move on to the other topic, you certainly sounded like you were saying that Lewisburg should pay thousands of dollars for Christmas lights. You certainly weren't saying that, were you?
If they want to spend it and the people in the community
Christmas
want it,
Christmas lights?
Sure. Yes.
Ooh,
if the people
I don't
want
know
it,
if that's legal.
Well, I'm sure you're going to call it holiday decorations, but they
yeah,
put them up
right.
at Christmas time.
You were calling it Christmas lights.
That's what I would call it.
Yeah, well, then you can't do it.
Thought you wanted to talk about the fired teacher.
Okay, just moving on to that. Suppose she had been raped.
I don't think it would have made any difference.
That's a fireable offense, being raped in the Catholic Church, eh?
You're asking the wrong person. Mark's on the other side of this issue. I believe that you know.
No, you are too, actually.
Why?
Because they have the right to fire her, and it was in their contract, and you're not really arguing against their right to fire her, or even that they should fire her.
Well, I am arguing I don't think they should fire her. I think if she's a good teacher, I think she should be keeping her job, and that they should find some other way to deal with it. And if they're going to impose all these things, didn't you just hear our former caller say that if a 16-year-old girl gets pregnant in school, they let her stay, but here's a teacher, and they're not letting her stay, and same thing, she's pregnant.
And then in the 50s, that was true of public schools as well, probably, wasn't it?
Well, if you have a moral turbitude clause in your contract,
and you want to make America great again like it was in the 50s, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, America is becoming great again, thanks to our dear president.
Oh, here we go.
And you're taking drugs lately, too, huh?
30 seconds left, Chris. 30 seconds left, Chris.
Okay, well, if he's really arguing the Catholic Church shouldn't fire her, then they have to accept, they can't just select and choose who they apply their contract law to, can they?
Well, you missed what I said
they
earlier.
They have to be consistent.
I am saying that where society is dealing with a whole range of issues we never dealt with before, and we need to address
them. But the Catholic Church has always dealt with these issues, and they've always done it the same way.
No, not really. Not really. There have been changes within the Catholic Church, particularly after Vatican II. I mean, it used to be a sin to touch the host.
Well, they could always just keep her until the cardinal or the pope or someone tells them to get rid of her, and then they have to, right?
All right, we got another caller, Chris. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Bob, you're going to get the last word on this. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. I think there's something in the water because you two have switched personalities today.
It's
but I have a serious question for Joe that I don't know the answer to, and he might. How can this school district, or any Catholic school district, write contracts that violate federal labor laws and state labor laws?
Well, certain people are hired in private organizations at will. When you come on, you agree that what might be sort of conventional fairness rules no longer apply because the organization has certain interests. For example, in radio, you're an at-will employee. If your ratings are terrible and you're not an entertaining person.
But an at-will employee is not a contract employee. His question is about a contract employee.
Well, no, but they can let this woman go at will.
This isn't the only example. Many years ago, I applied for a soccer coaching job at a Catholic school, not in this area. I was offered the job, and they told me they would also get me a teaching job in the school. I'm not a certified teacher.
Right. They have different standards. I'm not going to say
exactly,
lower
but how,
standards.
That's what I'm asking is, how is that legal to violate labor laws?
Well, they're not. They're educating students up to, you know, certain specifications and standards that can be tested, and as long as the school tests okay, just like homeschooling, you know, you could test at home if you wanted to and you're not a certified teacher, but if your student tests okay, then you do okay. You can keep that going.
Well, yeah, and back to this lady, if the ACLU, I would think, would have a field day with this. But I appreciate the fact that she's been what appears to be very honest throughout the whole thing.
Right.
It seems to me we're a lot more upset about this than she is.
Yeah, she's very calm, even on TV, which is hard to do. Hey, Bob, thank you so much.
Sorry
for
we ran out of time. Call back another day and we'll finish your conversation.
Hometown Pharmacy sponsor the toll-free line, the Shade Mountain Pharmacy on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills, Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg, Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street in North Emmeline, Danville Pharmacy right on Mill Street in Danville, down by the cop station, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy, 2nd Street in Lewisburg. Personalized service on a first-name basis. We'll be back. We got a southern section of the CSVT Expo tomorrow. This is WDKOK Sunbury.